Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
TMS is brought to you daily by the support of our patrons at patreon.com/TMS, like Just Another Nick, Jason West, and Saznak. Coming up on TMS, Una Lipa.
Lawnmower Cat.
Heroin Tight.
Not an Eagle Scout.
When the Rubber is Tight.
Brain Parking.
South Park Connection.
Godzilla versus Fakeroni.
Full Frontal Phlebotomy.
Seeing Red, then Gray, then Black.
Squib Game.
Scuba and JFEG.
Do dogs have names? Because I like seriously wanted to know.
$50 cafeteria.
Mainlining Conan with Steven. And more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Do you think dogs have names for us?
Whoa. Is that what they're saying? Our names are real names?
No, I'm good.
No, I mean it.
This is The Morning Stream with Scott Johnson and Brian Ibbett. Big ol' freaking dirt blanket.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to TMS. It's The Morning Stream for February 5th, 2024. I'm Scott Johnson with Brian Ibbett. Hi, Brian.
Hello. How are you, Scott?
I'm good, Brian.
I'm all right. I got energy today. I don't know why, because I slept like garbage, but that's because I ate too late. And when I eat too late, I get heartburn. And when I get heartburn, I can't
sleep.
Yeah. Can't do that anymore. You know, when you were 22, you could just sit down and eat a whole pizza at midnight and then sleep till, you know, 9 or 10 in the morning and not feel a thing.
Yeah. There's something to be said for getting old and eating dinner around 5:30, 6 p.m. every night.
Yeah. Yeah, there is, and I don't like what it says. It says we're old now, and this is the way our lives are.
Whatever. We do what we have to do.
Embrace what we have, I suppose.
Plus, I get hungry about 5 o'clock, 5:30, so I'm ready to start eating 5:30 or 6.
I am, too. I used to laugh at people. It's like, you're eating at 5? What is this, what do they call that down in Florida? The whatever special? The early bird?
The blue plate special?
Yeah.
Oh, early bird special, right. Early bird special.
Yeah. And they, you know, I used to think that was funny. It's like, you guys, what are you going to go to bed at 9:30?
Yeah,
like
some kind of watch Matlock and call it a night.
Yeah. And now I'm like, what time is it? It's 9:30. I'm going to bed. Look,
honey, where's Matlock streaming? Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty lame. But anyway, whatever. This is who we are and it's how we do. All right, we missed Thursday, obviously. We told you about it in both pre-show and post-show, but never in the main show. But we put it in the title, so the title.
We put it in the title, exactly, yeah.
Hopefully people got the message. But I did it because I had a doctor's appointment. It was the only time I could get in. My doctor's very in demand, and trying to get in to see her is hard unless you lock into whatever dates they have. So that's why I did it. Now, here's the funny thing. Everything went great. By the way, perfect visit for a doctor visit. This whole visit was top-notch from top to bottom until the very end, because all the numbers that we've been watching to keep in check were better, some way better.
Good.
Blood sugar's great. My blood pressure, which is high every time I go in there, was not. It was like well into the normal range.
Very good.
I got labs back. Labs showed everything was great. Just a peachy visit. Felt real good about all of it. Went in a little nervous, thinking, oh, it was kind of shitty during the holidays. Maybe this, you know, it's been 6 months. This is going to be bad. And it wasn't. It wasn't bad at all. Apparently, what I've been doing has been good. So all of that worked out great. So at the end, she says, all right, we're going to do a quick blood draw for these additional tests we want to do, and we'll get your results. I've already got those. Those were all awesome, too. They were just like cholesterol and all that. And to get it, we had to have somebody take the blood. No problem. I've done this 50 times there. It's not a big deal. They take me in this room. They send me in there with this nice young girl who I can only assume she's done a few of these. I don't know. She's got the phlebotomist, vibe or whatever. And
she gives off this phlebotomist vibes.
Yeah. And I don't ask for credentials. You know, I'm not like.
Of course not. No, you just assume that who you're walking into that the blood draw room with the seat that's a little bit higher and has a little arm thing, little armrests that you got to use.
I'm glad you brought the armrests up because that actually plays into this.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, because it was weird. Anyway, so we go in there, and she says, all right, so we're going to take blood. Do you have an arm preference? I said, usually left, because, you know, I don't want to... I use my right for drawing and all this other stuff. I don't want to mess that up.
Sure.
She says, great, no problem. And, like, it's never a problem anyway. It's a little prick. Big deal. We're done. Right. Little prick. That's what they used to call me.
Yep, that'll be a show title.
So then she gets me all situated, ties off the arm, a little loosely, I have to say. It wasn't super tight. I'm used to a good, you know,
good heroin tight pull with the teeth on the surgical tubing, right?
Yep. And then all of a sudden she does the usual, like, do you have anything fun planned for the rest of the day? And, you know, all these kind of small talk.
The little distraction talk. Yep.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And I wanted to say, that doesn't feel very tight. Are you sure? You know, I didn't, though. I was like, well, she knows what she's doing. So she does it, pulls out the tray, gets all her stuff ready. Goes in for the kill. And she spends a long time tapping, you know. Okay,
finding the vein,
whatever. And I'm like, usually they find it right away. I don't really have hidden veins. Pretty simple. She goes, okay, cool. And she's poking around. And then she has more small talk while she's doing it. And then she says, I think we got a good one. I said, okay, that sounds great. And I drink water in the morning, which is good. They want you to do that so your veins are, I guess that makes it, if you're dehydrated, really your veins go away or something.
Yeah, or something. Right. Yeah, you don't want to have a little shriveled up, you want to be hydrated.
Yeah.
As Stephen would say,
it turns out, you know what? Stephen was right. He'll probably tell us again today. So two reminders on one Monday. So anyway, I'm sitting there and she finds it, pulls out the needle. I don't really have a problem with needles.
Sure.
And I know you've kind of heard this story on Film Sack, so pretend you haven't heard this, Brian.
I'll pretend. Really? Yeah. No, that's good, Scott.
I've never heard this before. So she takes the needle, she sticks it in, and it kind of hurt, but more than I'm used to from these things, but it's fine. Not that bad. And I'm just looking at it, and now she's kind of fishing with it, and nothing's coming out. In fact, it's like maybe a dribble, just like a little doot, fell out into the little tube. And then she goes, oh, weird. And I go, what's the matter? She goes, I don't know. She couldn't figure out what's going on. And so she says, well, let's try something else. So she pulls it out and she says, let's try your right arm. And she says, and also, and this is why I'm glad you reminded me, let's try this. And she pulls out this big blue foam arm thing that you put up here that makes you go like this. Like you got,
oh God. All right.
Like it brings your arm way up. And, I don't know why that was supposed to help. I don't get it. But anyway, whatever. I put my arm on that. She ties it off. And I said, that's actually not very tight either. The left wasn't very tight either. Will that help? She goes, oh, yeah, let me redo it. And she undoes the thing and she redoes it and tightens it. But then it was exactly the same tightness. It wasn't any different.
She just can't pull it tight. Yeah. Were her shoelaces untied? Like she just sucks at knots, basically.
She's very bad at knots. And I said, I said, not an Eagle Scout, are you? And no, I didn't say that.
Where's your nuts badge? Yeah, knew it. Knew you didn't have one.
So I didn't say anything because I didn't want her to feel bad. She's very sweet, and it didn't matter to me. It's like, whatever, just get my blood. So then she goes in, same problem. Didn't hurt this time, but she's just fishing around. She's like, oh, weird. It's just not, I don't know. And it's just barely dribbling this blood.
Yeah.
And I said, am I just like the worst bleeder? And she goes, ha, no, no. And I said, would I be a bad heroin user? Ha, ha, ha. You know, I'm trying to make jokes and stuff.
And what you're basically doing is you're saying, let's joke around. We know it's not me. It's you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Am I a bad bleeder? Nope. Then it must be you.
Yeah. Kind of. Yeah. That's the subtext of my joking. You're absolutely right. It's like I wasn't even trying to do it, but it was happening. Yeah,
which one of us is the problem here? Guess what? Yeah. I've got blood in my body. I know I do.
Yeah. Said that. I said, you know what? I said, I'm 100% sure there's blood coursing through my veins. Otherwise, my understanding is I can't even talk to you if I don't have that going on. And she's like, oh, yeah. And then she says, well, here's the problem. we have a policy. If I can't get it out twice, the second person has to come try. That's just a policy. Okay. And I said, that's fine. All right. That's cool. And she goes, the other option is you just come in a different time and, you know, we won't want to sit here and poke you all night or all day. And I said, no, it's fine. Let's get it over with. It's totally cool. And I was trying to be, I didn't want her to feel bad. So she left and I'm sitting there now. I got Band-Aid over here. I got a Band-Aid here now. I'm starting to look like, you know, a pocked up junkie with all these holes in me. And this other lady comes in and she's about 2 feet taller, I swear, than this girl. She's much bigger, like a big kind of stock
WNBA star.
Stock woman, like, oh, I'm gonna move this whole truck by myself kind of lady.
Okay.
And she doesn't really smile, but the first thing out of her mouth is like, I almost expected German or something, or like,
you're well, put your arm out now.
I expected to go, what is problem? You have bad vein? Like something like that. And instead she goes, so do you have anything fun planned for later this afternoon? Like,
it's the same playbook.
Yeah, same exact playbook. I'm sure they talk about this, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, right. She plops down and decides to go for the left arm again where we started. And she hardly said anything. Not talkative at all. Fine, whatever. Mm-hmm. Sits me down, ties it off good and tight. So I was like, now that's what I'm used to right there.
That's a knot right there.
That's a knot on my arm. I like it. This rubber is making the hairs pull. That's when I know they're doing it right. And then needle in. Didn't even feel that needle go in me. Mm-hmm. Takes out the thing, pops it on. You know, you have the two tubes because there's two different tests. Pops it on. Blip, fills up with blood. Does the second one. Blip. And I said to her, and she pulls it out. She goes, all right, that's it. You can go. And I said, I wanted to say that was really great because the last girl couldn't do shit. Yeah, you know, I wanted to say this.
No, you want to not, right. You don't want to throw shade on the first woman, but yeah.
But then I came home looking like, you know, a documentary about documentary
like
subject.
One of the extras from Sid and Nancy or something.
Yeah, it looked pretty bad. Like even now I've got one, two, I don't know why I have four because I only got three shots, but I have four pock holes.
Yeah, for little getting it dots. Done.
Yeah, maybe they did four and I didn't notice her. I forgot.
Maybe Ronda Rousey put an extra one in there when you weren't looking or something.
She's always hanging around, dude, that girl.
Yeah. Oh, no, I was talking about you, the second phlebotomist. Oh, being Ronda Rousey.
She did look like she could pin me and have a 10 count. It really did.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like just kick my ass if she wanted to. And the other girl looked like she could ride on my shoulders and go, wee! Like she was tiny.
That's funny.
So
the only time I've ever blacked out or had a problem during a blood draw was when they were fishing around and they didn't have the slaughter rule like they do in company softball, where if, you know, somebody tries and they only get it twice, they have to bring in another batter.
Mm.
But no, because this person poked, I think did like four times trying to find a freaking vein, and it was getting painful. It was getting unpleasant. You get a little bit of anxiety anyway, even though I don't care about needles. Typically, it doesn't really bother me.
Yeah.
But just the fact's like, oh my God, they're going to have to poke me again. And this stings. It hurts.
Yeah, it's a repetition thing. Imagine if you're somebody who can't do needles, period, and then this happens to them.
Oh God.
What a nightmare.
So fourth time I look over, and that's when the thing fills with blood. I'm like, all right, great. And it was probably like the pain, the anxiety, and then the quick loss of blood or something that just made me go, huh, yeah, I'm fully aware. It was like my throwing up thing. Like, oh, wow, interesting. The whole, like, all my sight right now is going gray. I can only see gray right now. This is weird. How often does this happen?
Weird.
And then my sight comes back, and I was like, all right, well, that was weird. Was I out for any period of time? Like, did I stop talking at some point about everything turning gray? And then, like, 2 minutes, well, see, it's still gray. Wow.
So the closest, that's closest you've gotten to a blackout. I'm trying to think if I've ever blacked out. The closest I've ever gotten is just getting up too fast from being on the couch too long.
Right, yeah.
Something like that. But I don't think I've ever fainted.
Yeah.
As far as I know, my parents could say, oh, no, you did when you were four and you don't remember.
I fainted once during a rehearsal of a Christmas what do you call those things when, you know, you've got grade school,
Christmas musical time kind of thing, like on
Christmas
stage?
What?
Christmas musical?
Yeah.
Like a...
Yeah, exactly. Right, okay. Where you're singing, like I had to do the intro to Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, and then I had to do the backing vocals and sign language for Oh Holy Night, and then a couple other songs. And during rehearsal, I completely locked my knees like backwards and and blacked out. Like apparently, like cut off my circulation or something. And
oh man,
yeah. Fine for the whole, you know, the presentation, but or the actual performance.
Kid's worst nightmare, though. You don't want to freeze up on stage and faint. That would suck.
No. No, definitely not.
That'd be a nightmare. Yeah. Well, the other, I don't remember why. Maybe this was on Core, because we talked about it a little bit on Core pre-show, not long. But yeah. Tolbert was there saying that you want to make sure, or somehow I brought up the fact that the blood came out like super dark, and that's good, right? Mm-hmm. And he says, oh, that's very good. If it's bright red, you're in huge trouble. And I went, why would that be? And why would it be bright red? Is that people with thin blood? Is that people with too much sugar in their blood? Like, what is that? Too much glucose or whatever? And his point was, no, that means you've hit an artery, not a vein. Right. You want a vein.
Right. You want the blood coming from your heart, not the blood going back to your heart, because it's all, you know, it's been used.
Yeah. It's all used up from the last pass, right? So
right, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you're bleeding like bright red, that's usually trouble. And if it's a main if it's a main artery, obviously you're bleed out. You always hear that in the movies. Oh, I hit his main thing, his carotid artery. Yeah. Oh no, he will bleed to death now. Anyway, that was something.
Right.
Also, real quick, just speaking of blood, not to freak any blood people out. I'm not trying to make people who are freaked out by blood freak out.
Okay? Squeamish.
The squeamish out there. We know you exist. This is not that. But I am watching, and I'm almost done with Squid Game.
Oh, good. What are you liking it so far, by the way?
Yeah, I really like it a lot.
Yeah.
I think it lives up to that hype that everybody had for it. It's really something else. And what I'm excited about.
And I would seriously recommend, I would seriously recommend you check out
the game show
the
thing?
Squid Game Challenge thing. Because it is, I found the games fascinating. They use some of the ones from the show, but then they also created a few. I found those fascinating. The interpersonal stuff, you know, you got to always take with a grain of salt. Like it's, you know, they're editing this person to look like they're the villain. Although there were a few people. It didn't feel like they had to do much editing to make a couple of them look like the villain. But
They. I think I will. I think I'll probably roll right into it because I'm enjoying it that much. And
I'll prepare you for the silliest part of it.
Okay.
And maybe it's the most fun. Maybe it's a fun part of it. But they had squibs on every player, and that was how they let you know that you were dead. Is that your squib would go off and you'd all of a sudden start bleeding. And they told the players, like, when that squib goes off, act like you're dead and just, like, collapse or fall down or slump to the side or things like that.
Mm.
Which if you're playing this reality show game, actually kind of sounds like fun. Like, basically, all right, pretend you're dead, but we're not going to tell you. You just got to do it when the squib goes off.
It makes it very unique, too, because no other game shows do that. Competition shows.
Yeah, that's right. I like to see them do that on Jeopardy when you miss a question.
I feel like I would be mad if I got far enough and then a squib went off.
Yeah,
I'd look at it and go and then go and then lay back. Yeah, but anyway, it's really good and innovative in a bunch of ways. And I've done some of it with dub and some of it with subs. I wanted to see the difference.
Sure.
And I don't think the dub is nearly as bad as everyone says. I think that the subs are preferable, though, because the performances that the actors are giving are really, really good. And I think that those are worth seeing. I was going to say one other thing. What was it? The episode with the marbles.
That
thing,
yes.
That thing gutted me, dude. Gutted.
Heartbreaking, right? Yeah.
On like three different levels of heartbreak.
And
none of that I expected. Like I knew this game was going to have to whittle down, and people who were allies were going to have to, you know, screw each other. I knew that was going to have to happen. But that marble episode, which on its face sounds almost boring, it's like marbles.
Exactly. But it's very interestingly done. Like, here's a set of marbles. Figure out a game. You know, play whatever game you want.
Yeah, that really rocked me. That was a rough one.
Yeah.
But I'm almost done. I'll just say I'm down to. We're down to two people. That's where I'm at. So we'll finish it out and see how it goes.
Cool.
Now, here's what I'm excited about, because they've got a second season coming from a Korean cast again.
Yes.
Which is very exciting. But they also have an American version coming, and that version's not a remake. This is all in-universe, like parts of the world have their contests.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Which makes sense because the frontman guy, this is not a spoiler, but you can tell very early in the show, it's clear that he's answering to some higher power. He's talking to somebody higher up the chain. And the people up the chain are like, this is my world building in my own head, but the way I can see this is like, okay, well, the North American contest just ended. So over here in Africa, we're going to start another one. You know what I mean? Like, it feels like it's this worldwide cabal kind of thing. I am all about that. That is an amazing idea. And you know what? Make a German one. I'll watch that too.
Whatever. Exactly. Make it all in the same world and advance the story. Don't just make it like, well, here's another four characters you're going to focus on, but we're not really going to evolve the, you know, the cigarette smoking man level of who's pulling the strings kind of thing.
That's right. So welcome to Scott's new podcast, Outside the Hype Bubble, where I watched something everyone else was really into at one time, and now I finally see it.
Yes.
And it was great. First there was Parasite, and it's very Korean heavy right now, but first
apparently
there was Parasite.
Apparently so, yes, exactly. This. Yeah.
And yesterday I spent a bunch of time with my Korean family, and it's just Koreans for miles, all right?
Nice.
My Korean
nice.
Brother's coming over on Wednesdays bringing homemade kimchi. I can't get enough of the Koreans. They're the best.
The best.
All right, we got a quick text we got to get through here.
Yeah.
This is from The Flying Blender sent this in.
All right, okay.
He says, hello, just a quick correction for you after hearing Wednesday's show. After hearing you and Nicole pronounce laser. Okay, I would say laser, wouldn't you? What would you say?
I would say laser, yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay. This person says it's actually pronounced Lasser. L-A-H.
Lazer.
Lazer? Lazer? Also L-A-H, yeah, like la.
L-A-H, okay. La. Mm-hmm.
You see the A in laser stands for amplification. And because A has an open ah sound, it should be the ah. Or the A in the laser. So,
Lazer.
Lazer. Same goes for...
amplification, Lazer.
He says the same thing goes for scuba. The U in scuba stands for underwater, so it should be scuba. Now, look, I'm going to just go ahead and say right now...
Uh-huh.
Horse shit. Like, yes, well, it is what it means, but that doesn't mean that's how we pronounce these shortenings, right?
No, he is totally making fun of us for the whole GIF thing, because I insist that it should be GIF because it's graphic interchange format. So this person is basically saying, oh, well, if it's dependent on the pronunciation of the first letter that you make the acronym from, then it's SCUBA and LASER and JPEG because it's photographic for JPEG, et cetera. That's why his last sentence is nothing to get animated about.
Oh, now
just
I get the
I'd
reference.
Share while I sit here and sip gin.
I didn't get the joke about the gin or the gin and the animated part. Now it all makes sense. He finishes by saying, admittedly, I adore the amazing audio. That's a great way of saying love the show, though. Well, thanks to Flying Blender. I thought, you know what? For a hot minute, I thought you were serious. Thanks to Brian, we've decoded this, and now I understand the joke nicely.
I saw this in there, and I thought, oh, I can't wait to rip on this person for their sarcasm and snottiness, but 100% correct.
My neighbor says, so I had a neighbor yesterday tell me that the worst movie he has seen in 2 years... uh-huh. is Argyle. Brian, please tell me there's hope for Argyle, because you saw Argyle.
I saw Argyle. Yeah, and I wouldn't say it's the worst movie I've seen in 2 years. It's by, you know, Matthew Vaughn, the whole Kingsman and Kingsman and all that stuff. Yeah. Comic book writer as well, Matthew Vaughn.
Sure.
Big cast of stars. Go in just expecting fun goofiness, almost like spoofing the spy genre. But don't go in expecting it's going to be the next, you know, don't go in expecting it's going to be the next Kingsman, which I always, even Kingsman, I feel like is always a style over substance thing. Mm-hmm. They're really good. They're very entertaining, but there's like a, you know, you've got a lot of brain parking to do.
Sure.
You gotta park your brain at the door, basically.
Right.
With Argyle, you have to, I mean, it's a whole parking lot full of brains is what you gotta put out there.
Yeah.
Incredible cast. And Sam Rockwell is fantastic. And as always, elevates the material, whatever material he's in. He's fantastic. They make it seem like Dua Lipa is very prominent in this film.
She's not, is she?
She's not very prominent. There was a kid who was, like, while I was in the hallway, I was heading to the bathroom, and there's this kid like, man, I'm so excited. Oh, my God, Dua Lipa in this film. It's a, you know, a 13, 14-year-old boy. I'm like, okay, I know what. You like Dua Lipa.
Yeah.
Probably the same reason I like Dua Lipa.
Yep.
But I'm sure that kid at the end was like, there sure wasn't a lot of Dua Lipa in this movie.
There's only almost Uno Lipa in this movie.
There's barely Uno Lipa. Yeah, very good.
They did that a little bit with Barbie. Everybody heard she was in it and thought she'd have a bigger role, and she was barely in it.
She's barely in it.
Yeah.
Exactly. But it's fun. Boy, if you're a cat lover.
Uh-oh.
I feel like. All right. So there's a lot of CGI cat in here.
Oh.
There's a real cat, and it's in this adorable Argyle printed backpack with this great little, you know, these little cat backpacks you can take with little bubble window, astronaut window, so the cat can look out as you walk around.
Yeah.
But anytime the cat is doing something, or they're doing something to the cat that's kind of dangerous, they use a very bad CGI cat. Mm. Lawnmower cat, basically, is what it is.
Yeah. And, lawnmower cat.
Lawnmower cat. And it's just very, it's distracting, and it's...
Is Argyle the cat? That's the name of the cat? Or is that a spoiler?
No, I don't know. Okay. It's not really a spoiler. Argyle is a spy.
Okay.
And, all right.
Yeah. Okay, that's fair. That's all I need to know, I think.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, but there's, you know, there's a fun little trope of why a Superman dude is in there.
Henry Cavill.
Cavill, yeah, exactly.
How come his hair's so high? Because that's a little distracting. It's got some high hair.
That'll be explained. That's actually explained in the film.
Okay. It's got some Jim Carrey.
A little bit of Ace Ventura hair going on.
Yeah.
Same with John Cena, a little bit, you know, a little bit more of a caricature. Than a real character, and
sure.
You'll find out why.
I wonder if this is because this is Matthew Vaughn directing but not writing, whereas all his stuff he's known for, he wrote also.
Oh, really? So that might be it then. Yeah,
because the Kingsman, Stardust, Kick-Ass, X-Men First Class, all that stuff he wrote, those screenplays.
He wrote, okay. All right.
And this one he didn't, so maybe that's the deal.
That would make a huge difference then.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay. Well, I was kind of curious about it. So you're saying, you know, it's all right. What would you? Okay, let's give it a five out of five stars. What
definitely
would
wait for streaming. I'd say a solid three.
Okay.
I'd say it's solid three. Like it's
better than two.
I'm struggling with a three. Maybe 2.5.
Okay, 2.5. Put us right in the middle. That's fine. That's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll say 2.5.
Okay.
I mean, it's and one full star right there is for Sam Rockwell. Like, you know, Sam Rockwell, that's a 1.5 star movie for sure.
Yeah, that guy, dude. He's the best. Didn't he? But what did I just see where he walked out on a cane and then started dancing with the cane? What was that?
Oh, I don't know.
Talk show, maybe. That guy's got moves. Holy shit.
Really? Really?
Yeah. Someone in the chat find this so Brian can see what I'm talking about. He came out like he looked like he was injured.
Yeah. And, he pulled a Willy Wonka, right?
Yeah, exactly what he did.
Yeah.
And so he came out kind of like hobbling and whatever, and then he kicks off into this bunch of dance moves, and it was like, are you kidding me? That's Sam Rockwell dancing? That was crazy.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's great.
That guy's great. You also went to Casa Bonita, and I cannot wait to hear about this.
Yeah, so Thursday night, Tristan's birthday night, we took him to Casa Bonita. Again, the way to get this, these are like, it is the Willy Wonka of tickets, right? Where you basically have to get on a mailing list. You get on the Casa Bonita mailing list. They randomly draw names. And when we got there, I mean, the place was full. So we're thinking to ourselves, man, this is like, how are they going through this list that there's still a completely full restaurant 8 months, 9 months into their whole mailing list method of pulling people out for this thing. So the experience is still very Disneyland attraction.
Sure.
You walk in, you basically now have to go through a metal detector. Thanks, Trey Parker and Matt Stone. You go through a metal detector and then you go into a sort of holding area where you tell how many people are in your party, you place your food orders, which you've already prepaid for your food when you make a reservation. So you're making a reservation. It's like, oh, there are six of us. Great, that'll be $310.
And that was always the way before?
No, it used to be the way that you'd go there, you'd have to buy a meal, but the meals were all different prices and you wouldn't have to, well, you couldn't make a reservation for Casa Medina before. So like when you get your, hey, you're on the list, you make a reservation, you prepay for everybody and $50 a person.
Jeez.
Yes. And,
I mean, also that's not terrible if the food's good.
It's not terrible if the food's good.
Right, exactly. We'll wait to hear on this part.
We're getting there. All exactly. Right. So you get in there and they first take you into this room where you're basically like, yep, we have a party of six. She's going to have the chicken mole. I'm going to have the beef suadero. This person's going to have the carnitas tacos, blah, blah, blah. So you basically go through and you place your order. And then they give you two receipts and you take these receipts over to another line. And this is a line like your Chipotle, your Qdoba, where basically you're walking along a glass, a sneeze guard glass thing with people on the other side who have plates, and this person's doing a scoop of beans and this person's doing a scoop of rice, and then they get to like the entrees and it's just basically a scoop of chicken with mole sauce and then a scoop of this. But then they get to the end and that's when they have the person with the transparent mustard container of some sort of white sauce, and they go like a little, like make it look all pretty and a little cojita cheese sprinkled on top and sure. Et cetera, et cetera.
Sure.
So you're getting a plate assembled. And I know there are some kitchens, I'm not fooled into thinking that if I place an order at a restaurant, that there's not a vat of something that they're saying, oh yeah, that one comes with the beans on the side, or that one comes with this, that they're not just ladling it out of a big pot anyway and putting it on my plate. Right. I kind of get that.
Right.
So you go through the end of this and then, you give them one of your tickets and they take you to a table. And it used to be that you'd have to carry your own tray with your own food. So like, your little train of six people all carrying your little trays as somebody walks you to a table. Now they carry your food for you, but they're still carrying it for you as you get to the
As you go? Oh, weird.
As you go. Right. There was and also they didn't have a runner, so I ended up carrying mine, Tristan's, and Tina's meals. Okay. So like, do you mind carrying this other tray? And I was like, yeah, that's fine. Because we had six of us. So she carried one tray, I carried the other one. So we went to this area that used to be just tables inside a mine looking room, but now they've added like random explosions, like you're actually in a mine and rumbling and stuff like that, like you're underground, and there's a Zoltar machine that has an assayer dude in there. You put a quarter in or put a token in and he gives you some prize or something.
Wow.
And then you've got like this other area that is I'll get to that. Here's the experience of getting to your table.
Okay.
The food is like, all right, the way I equated it last time, or equated to my dad was, the previous Casa Bonita meal, I would expect to pay $5 somewhere else to get something like this. Right. It was Taco Bell minus. It was Taco Bell minus one.
Oh, shit. Really? And not in black and white. That's good, I guess.
Not what? Not in black and white. Exactly. It wasn't Taco Bell minus one minus color. Just Taco Bell minus one. And it was not good. It was like canned nacho cheese sauce all over things and dry meat or this or that. It was just not, you know.
So you're just paying for, you're paying for the South Park connection is what you're doing.
How do you get there, Scott?
All right. All right. Keep going. All right.
Now I would say that the food is elevated to like $15 level. If I were at a restaurant that didn't have all of the other pizzazz, entertainment, whatever, I would say I would expect to pay $15 at another restaurant for this food.
Okay.
Like, all right, much better. $15 is what I'd expect to pay for a good Mexican meal. Not sure. A great Mexican meal, but certainly not a, what, how much of this do I have to eat before I could feel like we could just leave?
Sure.
But you're paying $50. So where does that other $35 go? Yeah, that's all the entertainment. So, you know, you've got cliff divers still. They're a little bit more. The cliff diving thing used to be on the half hour. Now it's every 20 minutes. They do a shorter show, but they do it more frequently. So you can more easily go to, you know, say, oh, hey, they're doing a cliff diving show in like 5 minutes. Let's go over there. And you go and you watch cliff diving. Mm. And then, oh, here's Black Bart's Cave. And you walk through this Black Bart's Cave, which has not been, it's barely been updated. And what they updated is that some of the ghosts and monsters inside the cave now sound like South Park characters.
Oh,
not
really?
Intentionally. Wow. Not like, you know, that's clearly Kenny or they're clearly Stan or something. But it's like, I'm evil such and such. I'm going to get you and take away your tacos or something like that, right? Like it's this cheeseball thing, but it's clearly either Matt Stone or Trey Parker doing a voice.
Right.
They now have regular puppet shows, and we watched a little bit of that, and I was like, yeah, this is definitely not for us. Mm. And then they have a magician that does your basic stock, like, ring tricks, but with a lot more comedy, and was actually pretty damn funny.
Mm.
Pretty clever. Something called Sorcero, and it's done in kind of this 70s cruise ship disco kind of feel to it. It just knowing tongue-in-cheek. They've got a Cartman table, which by the time we got there, like our reservation was 8:30 p.m., talking about eating late.
Yeah, no kidding. That is late.
Yeah.
Well, late for old people, I guess. Here,
late for old people like
I'll put up this Cartman table so people can see it while you're talking about it. There it is.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And it's modeled completely after the episode of South Park where Cartman goes to Casa Bonita and is basically at that table yelling for more food. There's also, lots of music. Way more music than there used to be at Casa Bonita. Live music. There's the mariachi band that was a lot better than the old mariachi band used to be. Or maybe it's the same one and they just took the pandemic time to hone their craft.
Sure.
But then you've got like in this other area, you've got this little guitar player up on like a balcony kind of playing down to folks that was really good. The drinks are, hey, they had nice, good alcohol. I had a margarita, what's the smokier tequila? I know I'm not asking you, Scott, but anyway.
No idea. Zero idea.
Yeah. Yeah. But there's like a shoot, and it's not really tequila. It's a whole nother alcohol, but it's in the tequila family and it's smokier. Mezcal. Mm. Thank you, Nanamaton. Mm. I don't know why I couldn't come with mezcal or come up with that. But, I had a mezcal margarita and it was great. And it was definitely, full of alcohol. It was good.
Mm.
And, the other margaritas, other drinks that people had, they said were really good. So those got wildly improved, but those were extra. You know, if you want a soft drink, good. Include it with your meal. Dessert, sure. Include it with your meal, unless you wanted a special dessert. Otherwise you're getting sopapillas. Mm. So, all right. So bottom line, worth the $50. Barely. The food's a tremendous improvement. Mm. And then the experience is enough to kind of carry it the rest of the way up to that $50, because it's cheesy. But I think once you've seen it, once you've done it, you don't need to kind of do it for maybe another year when somebody comes to town that's like, oh yeah, let's go, let's take you to Casa Bonita so you can experience this weirdness.
You're not going to go every weekend or anything like that.
Hell no, not even going to go more than once a year. I don't see us going more than once a year.
Do you, were you surprised it was less, less South Park themed than it was? Did you expect more of that? Like inside, like just more?
No, I think it was about as much, cause it used to be like before Matt and Trey bought it, they had a little Cartman plushie that they always had hidden either up by the cliff divers or over by the exit. And I wasn't thinking they were going to like really integrate the South Park stuff in there. I didn't go in the gift shop, and I don't know if there was like, you know, a little Cartman eating a sopapilla kind of things in there. I should have gone in there. Maybe. Mm. So next year I'll tell you if they have those in there. Yeah. Oh yeah. They have a walking around. They have man, bear, pig. That's right. There's a man, bear, pig that walks around.
Like a mascot style.
Yes. Yes. Oh, mascot shit. Style man, bear, pig.
Yeah.
Yes.
We're going when I come to Denver, we're going.
Yeah. That's forgot. That's one of the better perks. Oh yeah. They took out all these, old video games, half of which worked, half of which didn't, and actually put in one of those shooting galleries with the lasers, which is pretty cool.
Oh, those are cool. Yeah,
they like added that. A thing for the kids called a root beer cantina, where you buy a little root beer mug and then you just keep taking it back there and they'll keep refilling the root beer, which is pretty cool.
Mm. Sugaring up those kids, man. That's what you do.
Exactly. Get them lit at 8:30 at night. There weren't a lot of kids actually around when we went there. It was definitely later, you know, it was a Thursday night.
Oh, sure. Yeah. No, that makes sense. I found a fly through with a drone. Somebody did here recently.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. It looks like there's a ton of claw machines.
That arcade area, they replaced a lot of the video games with claw machines too, and those, like, you know, hit the button at the right time with the light for tickets kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that surprised me how many though. It's like, it's a 5-minute fly through and I think I counted 5 of those or something.
Oh really?
Yeah. I put it in our
that sounds
thing.
Right, actually, because there was something like that in the, I mean, the thing that we were in, the Zoltar assayer mm-hmm. was like a looked like a claw machine, even though it was just like kind of giving you a little place.
Well, there you go, everybody. A review from Brian.
That's
a
right.
culinary review from Brian.
Culinary review. So if you come to town, if you're coming to Denver and it works out, I might take you to Casa Bonita, but I'm not paying for you.
No, hell no. Not that $50. Exactly. Real quick, we got an emergency notice from somebody in the TMS Discord.
Oh gosh, okay.
We have to report on this. This is a big deal. Yeah. So we played a sound not long ago that was real weird and we couldn't decide where it came
garbly,
from.
Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, yep. Weird. Yeah.
Somebody named Nikki M posted at 7:50 AM this morning in the TMS patron Discord saying, "Hey y'all, this is Nikki from West Virginia. I'm the one who sent the attachment to the text that was played. I recorded the audio on my phone and sent it as an attachment. I'm a little embarrassed to say that I recorded it lying in bed with my fan blowing. Sorry for any confusion. It was fun listening to the guesses." So for those who don't remember, this is what it sounded like. Whoops, no audio. I still don't know how that sounds like any of that, but okay.
Yeah, sure. Was your phone actually in the fan when you recorded it?
Or you know, in another room swirling in a toilet when you recorded it?
Right,
or,
exactly, yeah.
Or what? But we have an answer. So Nikki, welcome to the Discord, and also thank That's you right. for owning that so we don't have to think about it anymore.
And feel free to re-record it and send it to us again, and maybe just call the audio line and record a voicemail.
Yeah, because we'd be happy to, you know, talk to you.
Yeah, we want to hear what you had to say. For
yeah,
sure.
Unless it was just, and if it was,
yeah,
just
maybe
that.
That was, maybe that's really just what you were trying to tell us.
Yeah, yeah. It's the language of your people. We understand.
the song of my people.
We're gonna bring Dunaway in and get this thing on the road here.
Yeah.
Look who it is. It's our old pal Brian Dunaway from South Carolina. He joins us every Monday and Wednesday for a little game to play. Hi, Brian.
Oh, hi, Scott and Brian. How is your Monday?
Good.
It was good.
It's okay so far. You know, it's early.
That does not sound encouraging at all. Wow.
It's early, dude. You don't know what's going to happen yet.
It's early. It's almost lunchtime. Oh, that's right time zone.
It's a moon day.
Yeah. Yeah, welcome to your
moon day.
Got a bad case of the moon days.
Look here, Garfield. Just go get some lasagna and get over it, all right?
Sure.
Sounds good to me.
Odie, sure. Or whatever your name would be. Anyway, it's good to have you here.
We're gonna
play this game. It's called the half-asses, the morning half-asses. Brian's going to explain the whole damn thing so we can win some prizes for people. Brian, take it away.
That's right. Welcome to the morning half-asses, a trivia game where I'm actually going to be giving the two of you the answers. I'll give Scott and Brian a category and six possible answers, three of which are correct, and three of which are, like that guy's pronunciation of scubba, totally incorrect. Depending on how confident they feel with the category, they can provide one, two, or three guesses, but if they get any of those guesses wrong, they get 0 points for that round. If they get one right, they get a point. If you get two right, you get 3 points. Three right gets you 5 points total, and the player with the most points after three rounds wins the prize for their contestant. Our contestants today pulled from members of the Tadpool that aren't able to be here live. Scott, you are playing for Candace in Maple Valley, Washington.
Nice. Never
that
been.
Delicious.
Sound
Maple Valley. Yeah.
Maple Valley, I know, right?
Yeah.
Brian, you're playing for Jamie in Floral City, Florida.
Whoa.
Smells good. Yeah.
Like floral and maple. Look at this. Very
attacking all the senses today.
Exactly. Yes. Yep. All right. So let's get it going here. And we'll tell you about your prizes here at the end. Get ready. Here we go. Your first category is Las Vegas casinos that were built before 1970. So which of these Las Vegas casinos...
How excited did you get when you saw this topic?
Are older, very excited, are older than me. All right, your choices are Circus Circus, Flamingo, MGM Grand, Gold Spike, Caesar's Palace, and Barbary Coast. Which of these were built before 1970?
Before 70.
Bam!
I think those are it. I'm not sure.
I've never even been to Vegas. We have the TMS Vegas meetup soon, and I'm sure Scott at least has some kind of. That building looks old.
He's been in most of these at some point or another, probably.
Right.
Yeah. Been going to Vegas since I was a kid, but I don't know. I just named
the ones that I've heard before. That's the ones I did.
Sure. Well done. You guys lucked in all over the place. You both settled in on the Flamingo, and that's obviously one of the oldest ones there. 1946 is when the Flamingo opened. Bugsy Siegel, I believe, involved in that one.
See?
Circus Circus was actually built in 1968.
It
shows.
It does
nice.
Show.
Nice.
Caesar's Palace in 1966. And Flamingo, Circus Circus, and Caesar's Palace. Yeah. MGM Grand, 1973. And that's the MGM Grand is where the Bally's is now. It was originally the Earn Up Bally's, whatever it is. Horseshoe is now. Barbary Coast, 1979. That one is currently not Dre's. Dre's is the lounge on top. It's the Cromwell. Barbary Coast turned into the Cromwell.
Yeah,
and Gold Spike, 1975. I don't even think the Gold Spike is around.
On a scale of 1 to 10, Ibbot, how disappointed are you that we didn't get that?
Not disappointed at all. Like
zero.
No surprise. I'm never disappointed in you guys.
Let's give it a 1 since that's the lowest the scale goes.
All right, I'll give you a 1. You say 1 to 10, not 0 to 10. So I'll give you a 1.
Yeah,
so slight disappointment.
Yeah.
But no more so than I experience on a daily basis. Let's go to question number 2 here. This is places with a chemical element named for them. So we talked a little bit about the periodic table and Breaking Bad and the weird the letters and stuff that get highlighted in different countries on FilmSack yesterday. Let's talk a little bit about places with a chemical element named after them. Your places are Poland, Moscow, Stockholm, California, Switzerland, and Wales.
Oh my gosh.
Which of these have a periodic table element named after them?
I have no idea, dude. I feel like... I'm picking two because I don't know.
My power move.
Oh, yes, you did, Brian. Okay. Wow. I'm nervous. All right. Really went sparing on this one. Brian only put one. Actually, you both settled on Stockholm. And yes, Holmium is named after Stockholm.
I only went with what I knew.
Mm. Now, you've heard of polonium, right?
Oh, that's Poland? No. Shit.
That's Poland.
I didn't know that. No.
And yes, there is a californium
that's named
after California. No Moscow, no Switzerland, no Wales.
Brian, that was a power move. You got a point.
That was a power move. Like, if you're sure about one and there's 0 points on the board, nothing wrong with going for one. Yep. Gosh, that forces Scott to go for points this next round.
Mm. All right.
Two or tie.
Let's get to question number three. And perfect for film sackers. I just realized that Scott might have an advantage recently because of Adventure Club. Let's see how you do. Which of these are actual Godzilla movies? Your choices are Godzilla versus Space Godzilla, Godzilla Final Wars, Godzilla versus Ultra Magnus, Godzilla Takes Tokyo, Godzilla versus Warai, and Son of Godzilla. Three of those are real Godzilla
Son
movies.
Son of a
them,
Godzilla.
Three of them are fake. Fake-a-roni. Mm.
I'm picking the two that seem right. I don't feel like I have an advantage here because none of these are the ones I've watched. So I'm not sure.
Oh, look at that. You both picked two. And nobody picked Godzilla versus Space Godzilla? Yeah, that absolutely is one. Came out in 1994.
I was trying to remember, but it sounded fake.
It's Mechagodzilla is what you're thinking of. But 1994, yeah. Space Godzilla. Final Wars came out in 2004. Godzilla Final Wars.
Yep.
Son of Godzilla, you both got that one, of course. That's the one. Yeah. He blows smoke rings because he's a dumb Godzilla.
See, Scott does not advantage here because Brian is a Godzilla freak.
Yeah.
I didn't know that, but you still said
Godzuki. Oh.
That's right. And then Godzilla versus Ultra Magnus. Not really.
Ultra Magnus.
It sounded good. That's why I chose it. All right.
I knew it was an Ultra, but Magnus was not it. Go ahead.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. Ultraman, right? Godzilla versus Ultraman. Yeah.
I tell you guys the time I made my mom take me to see Ultraman when I was like six.
No.
At the theater. Oh, she still won't shut up about how terrible it was.
Really? It was that.
How many years old?
You probably loved it, though.
Years later.
You probably.
Like, I can't believe you made me go watch that stupid thing.
You probably loved it, though, right? I can see.
Oh, I still love it. I love the I love everything. Ultraman and Godzilla. Yeah. I'm all down with it.
Stuff's pretty great. Especially dubbed. All the terrible dubs. They're so good. Well, good job, Dunaway. You won it for your guy. Your lady, your man.
Florida.
Candace in Maple Valley. I'm sorry, Jamie in Floral City, Florida. You're getting the two games, and here's what you're getting, Jamie. You're getting Friends versus Friends. Oh, it's like what we played today. And Proteus.
Ooh, Proteus is so good.
Proteus Maximus.
That's the winning game tonight, or today. Proteus is like a kind of retro but modern take on like a shooter like Doom or something, but it's new, obviously.
Yeah.
But they use this combination of like pixel stuff and 3D stuff. It is absolutely awesome. That game.
Very cool. God, I need a good. I need a good first person shooter in my life right now.
I know you should play like some kind of Unreal tournament or something.
Only somebody I knew was doing a server and when are you guys playing that?
I think we're playing did we say tonight?
6:30 p.m. Eastern time or 4:30 p.m.
our time.
Eastern. Yeah.
Really? Yeah. Oh, I might join you. Yeah. What do I need? The Steam version or?
If you've already purchased the Steam version, absolutely go ahead and install it. Then you'll install the patch. It's pretty small. Not a problem there. You get all the information at retrogib.com. Retrogib.com.
Yeah, and if you don't have the Steam version, you can't buy it there anymore. But
I don't already have it. So where? If I don't have the Steam version, then what do I do?
You go to Mary Steenburgen and you say
no. It's on retrogib.com.
Yeah, all just the go there.
On how to grab it.
Retrogib.com has links to all the stuff you need, how to apply it. It was super simple. I did it that way too, and it was nothing. It was easy.
And somebody might have purchased a legit copy of the Game of the Year edition off of eBay and got it in over the weekend and made an archive page for it and called it the alternate link. On that site,
someone might have it. Someone.
Just saying.
Someone may have done
Very interesting.
Mm. Man. All right.
How old is this website? Jeez, this thing is. I'm just kidding.
It's retro.
It's retro, baby. Well, anyway.
Speaking of retro,
the one posted here is from somebody. Oh, hi. Gosh, I can't tell who may have created this.
So you know where you're at.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
What were you going to say, Dunaway? You were going to say something?
Oh, speaking of retro, for some reason, I've never seen Lois and Clark that 90s TV series about Superman. And I started watching it with Dean Cain. I started watching it last night. I kind of like it.
No, I don't know.
Have to do a whole thing.
Oh, geez.
Go ahead.
I've heard people hate it after the first season, but I don't know. We'll see.
It started strong. It got bad after that. It's not great.
Just came out in Brooke Shields' autobiography. Dean Cain was the one to take Brooke Shields' virginity.
Oh, goodness.
Get out of here.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I thought he was a lot younger than her.
No, he's a douche.
She even says, yeah, boy, he's horrible now. Look, but at the time, he was really sweet.
Future sport.
I can't not watch things because people are dicks and douches. I wouldn't have anything to watch.
You'd have nothing left to watch. Exactly. Yeah, but trust me, there's not a lot of Dean Cain stuff to watch. You're fine. You know,
yeah, I'm good.
He played that. Yeah, he was Lois and Clark. Lois and Clark.
You don't have to struggle too hard to avoid Dean Cain and things.
Yeah, it's like 6 or 7 things. None of them are worth watching. Well done, Dunaway. You won. So good job. Yeah. And also kiss our butts.
No, you.
All right, he's out of here.
Jorb.
Out of here. Yeah. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Something I wanted to mention real quick. Later today on the Frog Pants store, I'm putting up a 4-piece zombie bundle. Mm. It will be limited quantity and time on this thing. Here, let me put it up so people can see it. It will actually be... Oh, you know what? One of the items is different, but I'll explain. Anyway, this is going to be a limited edition 5-inch signed by hand, 4 of these prints. We're just calling it the Zombie Print Set. 5x5, full color, of course. These are only going to be $10, free shipping anywhere.
Wow. Wow.
And we're going to be handling all that here ourselves. There'll be some special extra stuff in there as well. But they'll all be hand signed. This arcade machine will be swapped out for this SpongeBob one, and I just didn't have time to do it. But that happened late last night, so it's kind of late breaking. But anyway, you got the Zambi, which is Bambi, but is a zombie.
That's a great one.
George Takei instead of George Takei. It's George Takei. You also got a Blocking Dead, undead Lego figurine. Anyway, this will be up on the store later, so watch for it. It's over at frogpants.com/store. And like I said, it will be very limited who can get them, very inexpensive, and will ship anywhere. Oh. Free shipping. So watch
for
that.
That's very cool. Nice.
Very excited. Okay, we are going to take a break. When we come back from this break, Steven Schleicher will join us. He'll tell us to drink water, and also we'll have some stuff to talk about, okay? So that's all coming up after this break. Brian's got to do music for it, though. What do you got?
Speaking of Henry Cavill and a certain character he portrayed, could not come up with that word, Kal-El in our... group said, "Hey, Brian and Scott, my brother and I released a record together this week, and maybe it would be a fun fit for Indie in the Middle. We wrote and produced all the songs together, and we've been calling it our musical antics, the Maltese Falcons, for years. Hope you enjoy the album and consider it. I'd recommend trying the song Lake Effect. Maybe my guitar parts will catch your ear. Been a longtime listener, but love the show, though. Signed, Cal." So it's great. I love it when we can do an Indie in the Middle that features someone in our little family here. This is, the band is the Maltese Falcons from their brand new album, Leaving Hazy Hill, just came out. Here's the song Lake Effect.
It's a little bit confusing. Have to ask myself if I'm okay with what we're doing. Think so. It's a little bit confusing. Have to ask myself if I'm okay with what we're doing. Maybe. It's a little bit confusing. Have to ask myself if I'm okay with what we're doing. Pretty sure. It's a little bit confusing. Have to ask myself if I'm okay. Okay. My thoughts wander and explore. This unknown territory is scary, it's not the norm. I thought I had the proper coat to weather any storm. Now I'm sitting soaked, knocking on the locked bedroom door. The lights are on and the fire's maintained. Having trouble getting comfortable when everything's the same. My muscles strained from holding on the change. The post-its on the fridge explain the story and the shame. Tiptoe around the stories, keep them stored on the shelf. From when you're bored, I'm saying bored, please. Extra effort to smile, creating sore cheeks. Clenching my jaw, start to feel bad for my poor teeth. The feng shui is never just mundane. New energy's the remedy for breaking up the chain. A thought that caught me off guard, got me constrained. No more bed in the corner, we moving toward a new age. It's a little bit confusing. Have to ask myself if I'm okay with what we're doing. I think so. It's a little bit confusing. Have to ask myself if I'm okay with what we're doing. Maybe. It's a little bit confusing. Have to ask myself if I'm okay with what we're doing. Pretty sure. It's a little bit confusing. Have to ask myself if I'm okay. Oh snap, I'm back to asking questions. Wonder if I'll get any return on my investment. Thought I understood the basic rules and the metrics. Message was mumbled and jumbled, lost in the congestion. Thoughts in my head don't make it into conversations. Autocorrect in effect, taking over statements. It's a disservice to have them hoarded in the basement. But is leaving them unsaid a better replacement? I think I'm good at reading between the lines. But halfway through the sentence, I get lost in my own mind. Simultaneously broken and completely fine. Unsustainable to try to rationale the reason or the why. My monkey brain always taking me outside. The moment got me contemplative, what's evading me? I need to own it, no mistaking that. I need to grease my wheels and components. Big proponent for embracing where we're going. It's a little bit confusing. Have to ask myself if I'm okay with what we're doing. I think so. It's a little bit confusing. Have to ask myself if I'm okay with what we're doing. It's a little bit confusing. Have to ask myself if I'm okay with what we're doing. Pretty sure. It's a little bit confusing. Have to ask myself if I'm okay.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Behind this curtain is something awful, something ugly, something that may be in your home right now. Creepy black mildew stains right there in your shower.
Where is it?
And we returned. Who was that cool band from a listener again?
That cool band is the Maltese Falcons, and a brand new album is called Leaving Hazy Hill. That's the song Lake Effect.
Nice. We have Lake Effect here. We get snow. We get crazy snow off the Great Salt Lake all the time, and it's called Lake Effect snow. Yeah. I wonder if that's what they're doing, because I know up in like Minnesota, the Dakotas and stuff, they get some Lake Effect. If you live by a big lake and you get just the right weather pattern, basically, it sucks moisture up from the lake and then turns it into snow immediately, and then you just get hosed by it. It's pretty great.
That's, yeah, no kidding. That's interesting. So, yeah, we don't have that. We just have the mountains as you do, and that just kind of lets stuff settle in and sit in one place and dump stuff on us.
That's true. You get it in your bowl there.
We had like 12 inches of snow over the weekend. It was crazy.
Oh, my gosh, that's a lot.
Heavy, wet snow. Yeah.
We got almost entirely rain. We didn't get any snow, really. Mm. Got cold, but it didn't snow. All right, Steven incoming. Look out.
Yay.
Look out, everyone. Duck. Here he comes. Where's his name? Hold on. There he is. All right. Add him to the call. Get him in here. See what happens when we do that. And we play his thing here.
And now welcome Steven to the show. He's a huge freaking nerd.
Dollar bills, y'all.
Hey, it's Steven Schleicher with all the dollar bills. What's going on, man?
Hello, Scott. Hello, Brian.
Hello.
Brian, I always love it when you talk Casa Bonita because it takes me back to the 1980s when we used to go at least once a year for family reunion type stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
You guys would go there. That's funny. Make it a place you would go for the family?
Yeah, because my dad's family, we would always go. They always lived in Cheyenne, so we'd go up there for Cheyenne days.
Sure.
And then one night out of the whole week that we would do a big family reunion, it was like, let's drive down to Denver and go to Casa Bonita. And of course, when you have like all my cousins and everything, we're all between the ages of like 6 and 14. Then
that's the perfect age for that place. Yeah,
yeah, it is. Yeah.
Wow. Well, I think they look forward to seeing you there again, Mr. Schleicher.
They'll welcome you back with open arms and a handout for your $50.
Yeah, and less.
I'm sure they'll go, oh, it's been like 40 years. We haven't seen you.
Yeah, less sopapillas than you're used to, though. Get ready for that.
Right. Yeah.
That's kind of a bummer. Hey, it's good to have you here. Majorspoilers.com, of course, is where you hail from. And we got a few things to discuss today. For example, you heard that I finally watched Parasite, and we'd had a little chat, you and I about that.
I was so excited.
Yeah, you were pretty stoked. There's a graphic novel in storyboards by Bong Joon-ho that you can buy for this. So if you really are into Parasite, good news.
I thought you might enjoy this, Scott. And maybe also film aficionados would probably enjoy this, Brian, because they have this. It's called Parasite, a graphic novel in storyboards. What it actually is all of the storyboards that Bong Joon-ho did for the movie, along with his notes from the movie, as well as the dialogue for each scene. So if you're really wanting to see how does a director craft a story and how are storyboards, why do they play an important role in this? You can go pick it up. The hardcover, it's only like $18. That's not a bad deal.
No, it's not bad.
No,
not at all.
Not at all.
That's pretty good. So this is cool. I didn't know the director. The director could draw. I mean, it's not like it's like jaw dropping art or anything, but it's this really cool. I don't know. Look but at he, it, maybe but his
he knows,
process.
Like, he knows perspective and and placements and stuff like that. That I think.
Yeah, that's cool. I would like this. Carter wants this.
It's $18.
Yeah. And so it's cheap. What else are you going to get for $18 in this life? It's not going to Casa Bonita.
Nope.
You'll pay a lot more there. $18. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But it's interesting. It's also interesting the stuff he laid over photos of places he wanted to use as backdrops. I think that's kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm. And then drew on the photos like to show, okay, the character is going to walk from here over to here.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Man, that brother and sister. What a combo. this is very cool. Available now. Let's see. You can get it on Kindle as well. But you may as well go hardcover for the art reasons.
Yeah, and that's a good coffee table book kind of thing.
Yeah, it's only $4 more or $3 more. So why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Very nice.
You guys earlier were talking about the Netflix show, the
Squid Game.
Squid Game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Squid Game. Have you guys watched Alice in Borderland?
No. Tell me more. God,
so many people talked about that in chat while we were talking about Squid Game.
Because I had brought it up, and it's like one day these three friends are skipping school and just doing whatever they do. They go into a restroom, and then something happens, and when they come out, the entire city of Tokyo is cleared out. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, they start finding out that they're part of some giant game that people who don't win the game die. And so the reward is you collect these cards. And if you can complete a full deck of cards, that means you get out of whatever reality that has been created here. It's pretty intense.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We got some.
There's a second season is out now.
Where's this
and
showing?
It's all on Netflix.
Netflix. Okay. Netflix.
Yeah.
I didn't even know about this.
This is
also
cool.
Based on a graphic novel.
Oh, interesting. they compare it to Battle Royale, which I watched, that Japanese film, bizarre, and Cube. So it's like, oh, this is these are both things that I like. Yeah, I think I'm definitely putting this on a list. It's cool.
At the end of the day, Squid Game's basically Battle Royale, right? It's it really is. With hundreds, get down to one.
It's basically or Hunger Games. They just don't give you the weapons. They just give you marbles.
Yeah, they give you marbles and cookies and good luck and
cookies.
To you.
What grossed Scott out the most? Spit on the cookies!
Oh my gosh, those guys licking cookies about killed me. It just about killed me.
I knew that episode would be tough for you.
Especially the old guys just licking on that thing like he was like a deer in a salt block or something. It was gross. all right, you know what? I'm just now adding that to my queue. That looks fun. I'd be into that. I like this apocalyptic freaking contest stuff. It's fun to watch.
Yeah, it's cool. It's interesting and some good character developments and a little bit of Lord of the Flies type stuff going on too.
Cool. Now, tell me,
8-episode seasons. How are they? Probably hour long. I'm guessing.
Say, yeah, like an hour long. It's been a while since I've seen them, but yeah, about an hour long.
Sounds about right.
Just about done with Peep Show. My God, that show still continues to be difficult to watch, but but holy cow, there is a character named Dobby in there. Her real name is Debbie, but people call her Dobby. It's like, I don't know how they did the casting for Dobby, but oh my God, the perfect casting.
I gotta watch
She's like
too.
A human version of Dobby.
Remind me where that was too. Where's that streaming?
That's on Prime.
Prime, okay. That thing's up. That's up soon for me. I gotta watch that.
Yeah.
I need some uncomfortable
totally
British
uncomfortable.
Shit.
And they should turn a drinking game into every time Jeremy says, "Oh, you'd like that, wouldn't you?" Because he says that seems to say that like every other episode.
Nice. Let's talk about Killadelphia, the Tom Hanks film that really put him on the actor map. Oh, I'm sorry, that's a comic book.
Oh, it's a different thing. Yeah.
Something's happening over at Image Comics. Tell me more.
Yeah, this is a crazy thing. So Killadelphia is a series that's been out for several years now. It is about a small town cop. He comes home because to Philadelphia because his father's been murdered, and he starts doing some investigating, and he finds out that Philadelphia is infested with vampires. Mm. Right.
Okay.
Now, it's so interesting, and that's been going on for so long. But starting, was it like 2 issues ago, I want to say, they have started saying, well, how about we just cross this series over with like other Image characters? So last month was Spawn shows up in Killadelphia. This month it is Savage Dragon.
Oh, yeah,
Dracula,
there he
is going to show up. Dracula is showing up. Yeah. It is like the weirdest crossover because even though there is supposedly a quote unquote shared universe with all of these Image comics, rarely do you get to see them actually do a proper crossover.
Yeah, I was going to say, unlike Marvel and unlike DC, and even sometimes Marvel and DC doing this with each other on the rare occasion that they do it, you never see that much, at least now. Back in the day, it feels like early Image, like early 90s when they first launched, you'd see things like Wildcats crossover with Spawn or something. You know, you'd have things like that, but it feels like they really got away from it as there were just more and more sort of independent comics with their own worlds and their own stories.
Yeah, because it's so much more of indie creator owned type stuff. So the minute you start crossing over, that brings up all sorts of rights issues and who's getting what money or whatever. But in this case, they're just like, yeah, let's go for it. And it's interesting. If you like vampire horror type stuff, this will probably be a series for you. But just the gimmicky crossover bit that they have going on is just fascinating.
That's interesting. I like vampires, and I also like a lot of Image stuff. I bet I would like this stuff.
Yeah.
I'm not even a Savage Dragon fan, but I'm curious about how that crossover goes.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Savage Dragon, probably not a comic for you right now, Scott, because it's last couple of years, it has definitely been an X-rated type.
Yeah. Eric Larson still on that soapbox?
Yeah, still doing it. It's like, it's my comic, I'll do what I want. And if I want to have people engaging in sex, deviant sex, other types of sex, whatever kind of sex, he'll put it in the page.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's into it. I know, I remember, but wasn't there was some kind of, he was doing it out of some kind of protest in the beginning, though, right?
Yes, because he had done something that was relatively tame, and they wanted to censor a cover. And he's like, okay, screw it. I'm just going full on this.
Yeah, and he literally went full on.
The most recent issue is just like, what the heck?
Yeah. Yeah, I can't believe he... I mean, I guess I can. It's an independent comic. The whole point is let the creators do what they want to do. But it, but I always felt like if you were a longtime Savage Dragon fan and that kind of moment happened, the dragging of the needle off the record moment, and then it's been like that since, would you as an old-time fan be like, well, dude, dial it back a little. I wasn't here for the porn. I was here for the stories and the whatnots. I don't know. It just kind of seemed weird to me that you'd do that to your fan base. But
And I don't want to lump all Savage Dragon fans into the same pool, but the couple of Savage Dragon fans that I know have no problem with it, and they were already in, would have been happy if that had been how Savage Dragon started.
Okay. Well.
So the porn stuff doesn't bother them.
Yeah. It just feels like such a sudden change to me.
It does. It really does. Yeah.
But what are you going to do? Okay, there's that. But now let's talk about an old timey thing that people used to love, and then they made a movies in the night or the 80s about it, so that people could relive it again. And guess what? Dick, everyone's favorite Dick is back. Dick Tracy. what's he doing, Dick Tracy, these days?
Yeah. So Dick Tracy, I don't know why this character still continues to survive. You're right, Scott. For the longest time, just a staple in the newspaper, the adventures of a cop taking down, you know, mobsters and bad guys through the Depression and after that. And then it kind of faded away. But over the last couple of years, people have been trying to syndicate the comic from King Features. So IDW Publishing had a license for it a few years ago and did some stuff back in 2018. Dick Tracy was going to be at Archie Comics, but that deal fell through. And now they're bringing Dick Tracy to Mad Cave Studios. And so if you wanted to see what I think this is a modern take on Dick Tracy, then so here you go.
Uses an Apple Watch now? he talks to people on an Apple Watch?
Yeah.
I will say one of the writers of the series, Alex Segura, is a fantastic mystery writer. So the fact that he's on board with this should be like, hey, we should probably check this out. He's written a lot of mysteries. He worked at Archie for years. He's got prose books out. So I'm kind of behind this just because his name is attached to it.
Hey, did you... Sorry, this is completely gear shift, but it reminded me to ask you a question.
Not a surprise.
Yeah. I know, not that surprising. did you tell us what your favorite comic was last year?
I did. It was the first episode back.
Yeah, did his top.
I don't remember what it was. What did you pick? What did you pick as your favorite? The top one.
You would have me going back and looking to see what that
yeah,
was.
What was it? Do you remember what it was?
It was. Hold on. It's sure, coming sure. up. It was Spider-Man. Or no, that was in movies, comics. Conan the Barbarian.
Oh, right. Right. Okay. Yeah. No, that's for my own benefit because I'd forgotten to write it down and I really wanted to read whatever it was you said. And then I forgot what the hell it was.
Here's the thing. Not only is the Jim Zub Conan the Barbarian really good, if you guys remember, and you and I are old enough to remember this, maybe some of our listeners too, Marvel back in the day when they were trying to avoid the Comic Code Authority, they had those magazine size Savage sort of Conan books that were black and white, really violent, lots of sexy times going on in that. Titan Comics is bringing that back in black and white in magazine size format, and it's coming later this year. I want to say April. And so people who are big fans of the Savage Sword of Conan stuff and want to kind of relive that oldie timey experience, they are bringing that series back with all new stuff coming up in Savage Sword of Conan. Well, let me see if I can find a date on that. It looks like later this month at the end of February. It's 80 pages. So, people might want to check that out, too.
Yeah, that seems all right. I'd be down with that. The Jim Zub one, I really want to get my hands on, but it's just kind of got me in the mood for some pure Conan. Like, not watered down, try to get a fresh audience Conan. I mean, like, brutal ass, freaking barbarian, barbaric Conan.
Just a few weeks ago on the Major Spoilers podcast, we took a look at two Conan stories that were done, one in Savage Sword of Conan and one over at Dark Horse Comics. And it was interesting to just see how a story that's separated like 30, 40 years apart from one another, how different they can be. So Conan's good. There's good Conan stuff out there. Be aware, ladies and gentlemen, that, you know, Conan the Barbarian was created in the 1920s and the 1930s by someone who is maybe not as what's the word I'm looking for?
He's not sensitive to the issues of the day.
Yeah. So just be aware that when you're reading that, there's a lot of like yellow peril. And,
oh, right.
Type stuff in there. There's some stuff that leans kind of into the racist territory for the time. So you do have to kind of separate the art from the artist and realize what time period it's coming from.
That makes sense. Do yourselves a favor, folks, and do your research. Well, there you go.
Not just by going to Facebook.
No
actual research.
No.
know what you're in for before you get it.
Yeah, just know. Okay. Well, that's great, Stephen. As always, it's wonderful to talk to you, and we look forward to more next week. Is there any other advice you'd have for us today?
I would, and I can't remember the exact reason why, but my wife has always said, because she's a nurse, before I go in to have my blood sticks done for my blood tests, you should be drinking water and staying hydrated. Not to just stay hydrated, but because it does affect one of your blood tests, depending on what they're doing. It may show that you've got, like, I think it's low salt levels or something. So drinking a big glass of water before you go get your blood taken is a good idea. Plus, you get to stay hydrated.
Hydrated. Bye now. I knew it was coming. I just had to wait for it there.
We just knew it.
Yep. That's awesome. Thank you so much for that. Let's get a couple other things out of the way. We got one final text here to read. A thing that made a dude laugh.
Oh, good.
Okay. Hey there. In the early days of TMS, there was a short segment in which you guys talked about things that bothered you. Words, smells, noises, phrases, etc. I think I called it Thing of the Day or something. Whatever it was.
It was Thing of the Day, yeah. Uh-huh.
Says, I'm 95% sure that Scott said, "You're not wrong" is a phrase that bothered him. Makes me chuckle every time I hear it. Love the show, though. Yeah. It's very possible that I adopted a phrase that I don't like, because I don't like it. I don't like
You're
not
wrong. Find that I'm using, I remember I used to complain about right, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm finding that I'm actually using it right now.
That one's kind of useful. I use it too.
Yeah, it does. It comes in handy for things, yes. Yeah.
At the end of the day, it's all language. It's all a matter of just, I don't know.
Exactly.
Knowing when too much is too much. I don't know.
I just said exactly too.
Yeah, it's fine. And you're not wrong.
It happens, folks. Exactly. See?
Yeah, we did it again. It's an unending thing. Okay, so tonight, we were going to do this at 6, but I forgot about the Dunaway server thing. So I'm not sure when this is happening now. Maybe after, maybe before. But tonight sometime, when Carter gets home from work, we are going to stream her and I. And we're going to start doing this every Monday. We're going to just call it Mondays. And me and Carter will do a little dad-daughter stream. Sometimes it might be gaming. Sometimes it's just us chatting. Hanging out, talking about the challenges of her generation, talking about her work in the video game world and why that's such a hard business to be in right now. Just kind of her and I hanging out, doing stuff.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So check it out. That'll be on all the streaming channels, which you can find at frogpants.tv. And like I said, we were aiming for 6. So he said 6 Eastern. That's 4 here.
4:30, yeah. So 6:30 Eastern, 4:30 here for the.
I can still do this at 6 then. So you know what? Yeah, I'm still planning on it then. 6 o'clock tonight is our time, and Carter and I will do that for about an hour. And if you want to come hang out with us, please do. It'll be great. And also keep your eye on the store, because that 4-pack print deal will be hitting later today, and will be, like I'm telling you, very limited, all hand signed. Probably not going to do it again. Although if they go really quick, we'll do a second run. But we have to commit to a run. And if we do a second run, it'll be because of demand. But right now, we're planning on just the one run. It's the 4-pack zombie prints, 5x5, hand signed at frogpants.com/store. So watch for that.
That's cool.
Brian,
that's
you have an update on Vegas. What's going on?
I do. Before I get to Vegas, though, I got to show this off. I promised Nomic that I wouldn't ship this until today. But had a commissioned 3D print, and how awesome. Whoa, as it comes apart.
Oh.
It's 2 pieces. It just needs to be glued, but I'm going to let him glue it so I can package or wrap each of these separately. But it is Facepalm Picard, 3D printed bust of Facepalm Picard. Oh, had it turned around. That's why I probably wasn't sitting too.
Oh, there you go. Nice and solid there. Plus, you got the logo out front.
The logo is in the front. But
do you think he's facepalming because his right arm is missing? Is that why he's doing
it? Yes. It's funny that both you and I think was it Tanner or somebody during D&D? I showed that to everybody during D&D, and they're like, "Where's his other arm?" Like, well,
it's
do you
bust.
See that when you see the Venus de Milo or not Venus de Milo, when you see David, Michelangelo's David, like, oh no, he's got both his arms. It is the Venus de Milo.
Yeah.
That has no, yeah.
She has no arms. Somebody broke him, right? Wasn't that the story? Is somebody vandalized it?
Oh, really? I thought he just never did it.
I don't remember. We had a whole thing in art history about this, and I don't remember how it went. Part of me thinks there was some vandalism, and the other one
confirms they broke. That's interesting. I always thought that it was just like, you know, she just never was sculpted with arms.
And it's weird because it made it the art that it is.
Yeah.
The arms missing are what matters about that thing. And mm-hmm. had someone not broken them, or they just broke any, I don't know how they broke. I thought there was some vandalism, mm-hmm. but that's what makes it the piece that it is. That's crazy.
That is crazy. All right, so let's make this TMS Vegas announcement. A couple people already know about this, but our Tuesday night event, I've been waiting to see if we can get a really good deal on like a group rate, and I'm still going to try and do that. So obviously don't pre-buy any tickets just in case. But our Tuesday night event is going to be a brand new thing that just opened up in the Luxor called Play Playground. And the video that I saw, Norma Jelly, on YouTube does these Las Vegas things. She's interesting. It's like that her way of speaking is very presentery. Mm-hmm. So it's like da 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 da. So she's very funny. But this is like basically the best way to describe this is for everybody who's ever been like, I really want to be part of Taskmaster or Taskville, Brian. This is kind of it. Like it's giant. Like they took kind of the idea of giant Jenga and made all these other games and other challenges and contests like kind of giant Jenga style. So you've got, you know, that game where everything pops out, Perfection. You've got all the little yellow pieces and you got to put the star in the star shape mm-hmm. and the circle in there.
Sure.
They have a giant one of those that's on a wall and you got to put all the things in the right places before time runs out. They've got a hallway with neon lights all over the place and you've got a ring that you have to walk it down and not touch the metal bar that it sits around the entire way down to the other end.
Oh, I love it.
This place is kind of perfect for our group. And there's a bar in there. There's some tables up top. If you know, the noise gets to you for a while, heck, just go up top with a few people and have a drink and kind of get away from a place. This place looks great. It's going to be perfect for our Tuesday night group event. And, it's called Play Playground. And I think it's $37 for all you can play, for the night we go there. But there's also like a VIP package. There's a couple other things that get you drinks and shirts and stuff like that.
Yeah. During the day, it says, the info I'm reading says Playground will be open daily for all ages, including children, but the nighttime is reserved for over 21. So it's kind of like the Container Park area where there's a certain time where it becomes for adults.
Where it cuts it off. Yeah. Exactly.
So that's cool.
And a lot of you might remember the very first TMS Vegas, which was barely even a TMS Vegas, but it was an overnight thing that I challenged that I took on to go from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. the next day without getting a hotel room and just be up all night doing stuff in Vegas. And only a few people managed to make it. Tony and James and Ambassador Domo, I think. Was it Ambassador Domo? I think it was Ambassador Domo. Robert.
Anyway. I know I didn't.
You didn't make it.
But I was there, but I didn't do the crawl. I couldn't.
Yeah, we started out at the MGM arcade area that had a few of things like this. Mm-hmm. And I think you and I even did a little Dance Dance Revolution next to each other.
Yeah, we did. That was pathetic, but we did it.
It was horrible, but it was fun. Yeah. Anyway, this is going to be a whole night of doing stuff like that. And this place, I watched the video and it's like perfect. Shoujo's going to do a little recon in a couple weeks after the Super Bowl and check it out. And
nice.
And it's great. It'll be a blast.
But like Brian says, don't pre-order anything to get in there yet, because we want to see if we can get a group rate still. And it's not like you can do much, you know, by getting it that early anyway. Which reminds me, tickets are on their way too. So tickets for the event, period, which include your swag bag and your access to everything we're doing, those will go up sooner than later. I'm trying to hurry up on this. The problem is you got to get all the swag worked out so then I can show what that is and then figure out the total and blah, blah, blah. And then you guys will have tickets. If I do this right, you'll all be able to have a ticket buying link before the end of February so you can lock in your tickets. So even if you've already registered your hotel and all that stuff, that's all great. But well, I will make sure that that's soon. You're not going to have to be sometime in March. I'll make sure you have it sometime this month. Okay. That's the plan. Cool. All right. That's going to do it for the show. Go check out frogpants.com/TMS for all your needs, your links, your clicks, your Patreon, your everything. It's all there for the taking. It's just up to you to navigate on your device and go there. Yeah. That's it for us. Brian, take a moment and tell us about a song you want to play here at the end of the
show. Take us away, Brian, with a song. Okay. This is a sad one. Going out to Kevin Chu. You know him best as Icor. He says, "Hey, sail and boat. On January 2nd, I lost my father to cancer. It was all very sudden and unexpected. Since 18 months prior, he had a clean bill of health. Somehow in that time, he developed at least 3 different types of cancer, and a fourth area was never officially diagnosed. We were able to have a last Thanksgiving and Christmas together, which I will always cherish. My father was an immigrant from Hong Kong and moved to California for school, where he met my mom. Could you play Going to California for him, since that was the decision which led to me existing? Also, any clips of Brian Dunaway, since he makes me laugh. Your broadcast is otherwise entertaining. Signed, Kevin, a.k.a. Icor."
Well, I am more than happy to share a Dunaway clip or two.
For sure.
Let's see if we can find a good one here.
Give us some Flash Gordon.
Oh, those are always good, right?
Yeah, Mingo Phone.
Mingo Phone and all that. Hold on here. Mingo Phone. Here it is. Let's play it.
Booby Slave. Booby Slave, retrieve me my Mingo Phone. I need to contact Flash Gordon.
There you go. He's such a dork.
He is the best dork. Anyway, Going to California. This is a cover done by Amy Lee, formerly of Evanescence. She's a solo artist who left a successful band. Wonder if that could fit in anybody's music league. The original song done by Led Zeppelin, here is Going to California.
Guitar and cry.
Get more at frogpants.com.
Dick Digit.